Thank you so much, members. You welcome to the second day of our meeting, where we deal with clause by clause of the bill, amendment bill. In day one, there were issues that we passed for today to be finalized today. And I'll deal with those issues as soon as Peter Paul has given us the register issues, who's in, who's not in.
Chair, for the record, the status quo remains. The apologies that we've received are from the two members of the Democratic Alliance, Dr. M.J. Kado and Mr. P. Atkinson. Mr. N. Mabika and Ms. Sonyana. Those are the apologies that we've received, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, you all welcomed, and all our guests, our legal advisors, state law advisor, advisor to the minister, and our support staff. We also have here guests from Working for Enterprises. We have also Tuma Mina guests. I'm not too sure at the back, the lady and the gentleman
PMG.
Here. From. Come again?
PMG.
Oh, you're from PMG, okay. I'm sorry I didn't come to your corner just to find out who you are. But you're welcome, all of you. Colleagues, I just want to thank you for the progress made yesterday. This is not an easy bill, we all know that. Quite technical at some, the large part of the amendment bill. We had few issues that we need to revisit today. The issues, one of them is around the definitions. Remember, we in the responses from the minister, we had about four, and then the one on the bill is the fifth one. The definition of the average avoidable cost. So we requested that they go and discuss that so that we can have at least the preferred one from those four. To make it easier for us to discuss, to decide with which one we can perhaps deal with. Because if we were to decide, we don't know what formula, for instance, is used to arrive at a particular average avoidable cost, and therefore it will be difficult to even choose from 1 to 10. That's where we need expertise help. Hence, we send it back for refinement so that they can come back and really guide us. That's one. Second one, if you recall well, was around Section 3 and 4, where we were dealing with the guidelines vis-à-vis the regulations. We couldn't make up our minds on that one. We have to, unfortunately, deal with it today. The other one was around the penalty clause. If you recall, Section 18, Subsection 18, we had that one. And the last one was on the dual process issue. And I would request that one that we defer it further to after lunch. But I will request that we first dispose of the four items, the three items actually that I dealt with so that we are able to that I alluded to, so that we are able to continue where we left off yesterday. I will request on the average avoidable cost definition that I don't know if the legal, the state law advisor has anything, or the advisor to the minister.
Thanks very much, Chair. So the one where we had provided options was with respect to margin squeeze yesterday, and you'll note that there were four options that had been provided. Following further consultation with the economic advisors, they pointed us to the fact that the third option, which talks to margin squeeze, means that the margin between a price at which a vertically integrated firm sells the downstream product and the price at which it sells the essential input to rivals is too small to allow downstream rivals to survive or effectively compete. That has been indicated as the preferred definition, because what it does, it takes into consideration both the price in the upstream market and the price in the downstream market and the difference between the two. And what they're saying is that when that difference is too small, it doesn't allow competitors in the downstream market to participate effectively. And so that's the appropriate definition. What they've just told us is that it just needs a couple of tweaks, the one being that the vertically integrated firm must be dominant in the upstream market. So that reference needs to be made. You'll notice that that reference was made in the first and the second one, but it needs to be brought in to the third. And then probably one tweak which is necessary is just to make it in line with the language that we use in our act. This notion of to survive or effectively compete, we don't use that language. We use the language to participate effectively. That's the language of the bill and the act. So that would just bring it in line. So that's the indication, Chair.
Is there any definition that would include what you referred to, especially around the dominant?
So I think an appropriate definition, Chair, if we use the third one, would go margin squeeze means that the margin between the price at which a vertically integrated firm, comma, which is dominant in the upstream market, comma, sells the downstream product, and the price at which it sells the essential input to rivals is too small to allow the downstream rivals to participate effectively.
Okay. You were just too fast.
Oh. Sorry. Can I read that once more, bit slower?
Yes.
Okay,
sure. Vertically integrated firm, comma,
which is dominant in the upstream market.
Yeah.
Comma.
In the upstream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sells the downstream product, and the price at which it sells the essential input to rivals is too small to allow downstream rivals to participate effectively. So what changes in the third definition is we add in that the dominant firm, that the firm is dominant in the upstream market. And instead of saying to survive or effectively compete, we say to participate effectively.
Effectively. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if members got that. I would propose that you just write it down, give it to Peter Post for the purposes of the minutes. There you are, members. We got guided. What are you saying? Do you agree with the explanation and the guidance? The preferred option is the third option. Are you okay with that? Thank you so much. That's progress. The second area is around the guidelines versus regulations. Have you made up your mind today? Yes, you'll indicate to me how you decided. That's it, Lenny.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. In resolving the matter, we decided that it is to the advantage of everyone if you try and focus on tightening up, you know, the legislation in such a way that it does not create loopholes and, you know, open spaces. We've resolved that we should go with the regulations because they are firmer and they close the gap of confusion and so on. So we're going with regulation as opposed to our initial proposition of guidelines. Thank you.
Thank you, and just Leanne, is that the feeling of everyone?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. May we then move to the next one, section 18, as on the penalty clause. State law advisor, and
thanks, Chair. With regard to the penalty clause, Chairperson, we propose that the Commission shouldn't be able to consider the if the foreign acquiring firm doesn't notify the committee, the Commission shouldn't be able to finalize its work. So it shouldn't be able to consider the application for a merger at all until the committee has been finalized. But we still think the penalty should still remain.
At the same
10%. But that's the maximum of the tribunal. The tribunal can go. That's the only threshold, the maximum threshold so far.
Yes, Chair. Let me just go to 59, Chair. If we link it to section 59, Chairperson, it will still be 10%. So if we want it different from what is in section 59, then I think we'll need to make a standalone provision that provides for a penalty to person and the amount of...
Personally, I really feel it has to be delinked, because that's another process. If you put up a high panel committee, this is the high panel committee, the highest in the country. And for anyone who's not going to really go according to the guidelines as put, it means that person has a problem with subordinating him or herself to the authority. And therefore, that must be punishable. If you are expected to do something and you can't do it, that must be, because this is for the security of the nation, it's not just for the purposes of any other thing. If you are set to register, whatever that needs to be done. So, and therefore, the argument still stands that you can't equate it to a normal process where images are reviewed by either the tribunal or the commission. Members, that's where I still stand, and I feel the penalty cannot just be left at 10%. It has to be. So we need to look at a way of coining it. I'm not sure what you think about it, but this is the personally how I feel about the matter.
That is thank you very much, Jefferson. The matter that you are raising, Jefferson, is very important and is very relevant. I am going to suggest, I don't know if I will be out of order, but I'm going to suggest that the first part of the definition will refer to what is there, which speaks of penalties and so on. But it should then further go on to say that a company that fails to disclose, non-disclosure may also result in the company subjecting itself to the security laws of the country. Something of that nature, but it must just be a little bit broad. That's why I'm thinking of the term may, so that companies know that if they fail to do this, it won't just be penalties, they may also be subjected to the security laws of the country. Something like of that nature. Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks, and Adetlan. Just a reminder, members, this is a section where we're dealing we do have that section A, B, C, the 12 ABC that deals with what you're talking about. For instance, if you don't disclose, this is what you're going to. This one was specifically on the tribunal issuing a penalty, and the penalty is 10% according to the Section 59, and we are saying it cannot be the same penalty with the normal work, you know, of the commission and the tribunal. This one, because it's related to non-notification to the committee, and that because. We're talking about this one is because it's something that will be discovered in the process by the Competition Commission when they process their matter. So it means it is a hidden thing. It happens. So we do not want to encourage the firms, especially the dominant firms that are acquiring. The local firms to come and do things in an unscrupulous manner. They must know from the beginning that we are going to South Africa and there's law in South Africa. And if you don't comply, there are consequences. Because currently there's that vacuum. So this is meant for that if you defy the highest authority of the country. It cannot just go for 10% because it's easy for them to ensure that 10%. We have to increase that. So the issue here is how you coin that in such a way that it talks to the administrator, who is the tribunal. That it should still go there, but the tribunal must then work with the threshold that's higher than the currently referred to. I'm not sure if I'm making sense to you guys. Yes. So this is the area that we talk the threshold that we discussing now. Because that one the Mr. Klein is talking about, Honorable Klein is talking about, is already covered, yes. It's already covered under A, B, and C, yeah. 12 of A, B, and C. I don't know whether you...
I think, Chair, the suggestion is by my colleague is that we'll have a standalone clause which enables the administrator to put in a penalty more than the one prescribed in terms of Section 59. That's the provision we'll put in Section 18A, in Section 18.
Okay. So that will follow the sequence from 12 and so forth, because when we finalize later on, we need to know where exactly will that be. Is that fine? Okay. Members, are you comfortable?
Yes.
Thank you so much. May we move on? I think that was the last one before lunch. The dual process one, I requested that we defer to the next, to after lunch. There are still a few consultations to be made. That's why we're deferring it. Yes.
I think in the no, I'm not there, Chair. Yes, I'm just concerned about the procedure that the committee will apply when considering the imposition of the penalty. But I'm going to propose, Chair, that we include in subsection 5 something that talks to that the regulations that will deal with the issue of the process that will be followed in the imposition of the penalty by the committee.
Oh, okay.
Because if you look at 59, there's a whole process that that the tribunal goes through in considering the imposition of the penalty. So you may need an equivalent process for the committee if it's going to be the one that takes over that process when it comes to this one, Chair.
So you are proposing that we put it under 5?
Yes, Chair, to provide for the President to issue regulation for the process.
Okay. I don't know what you feel, members. Okay.
I think as the committee made a decision who's going to be imposing the penalty, I think my understanding is that we're still saying the administrator, which is the competition tribunal, which is going to issue the penalty for non-disclosure by a foreign acquiring firm. So just probably need to work on the wording, including the, because I don't think the committee is saying the committee set up by the president is the one going to be setting up the penalty. It's still going to be the competition commission.
The competition tribunal.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Members, are you okay?
Yes.
All right.
I think, Chair, we needed a confirmation around, I think they're waiting for the prescribed time period for the report to come to Parliament.
Mm.
That's the last thing on the matters that we parked yesterday.
Okay. If you remember, members, it was around...
page
9 of the bill on top. 10. Under subsection 10. Okay. Do you want to come in to the department? The prescribed time period?
Thank you, Chair. So I think there are two aspects to subsection 10. One talks about the publication of the notice in the Gazette of the decision, and the other talks of the submission of a report to the National Assembly. And I think, Chair, it would be appropriate if we could have two separate timelines, one for the gazetting of the decision and one for the report. The gazetting of the decision could be a relatively short timeline, because that's just simply a notification in the Gazette. The report, Chair, may require some time, and of course there's issues just around ensuring that the report is of an appropriate form and taken into consideration sort of what information can be shared legitimately and without any confidentiality concerns. So I think, Chair, we would approve. I think there we need a longer time frame, and I think the proposal, Chair, would probably be something of the order of around about 90 days for the report, and a shorter time frame for the decision.
Thank you.
Bula,
do you want to come in?
I think it's part of the discussions we were having yesterday as officials around the submission of the report and the decision to the committee. And I think because of the nature of the things that are considered and might be in the report, my suggestion was discussion with the colleagues that was should be submitted to Parliament, which might be a shorter period than the full report. Might be probably a decision of the committee, and probably with the reasons, not actually the full report, because the full report might have consequences in relation to issues of security that should not be seen by everyone. And it also opens that once there is a report that is known, people can ask access for that report. So what I was going to suggest, I think, at some point in time is that what gets submitted to Parliament probably within 30 days of the decision is the decision and it's probably simply the reasons of the decision. And that's all. Then it's up to the committee then to process that we want the full report, and then the issues of confidentiality then can play there, Chair.
Thank you for that. I think the issue is quite clear. Your reasoning is acceptable, although I think there's one thing that's not understood. Remember, in terms of our constitution, I think it's section 198. No, let me tell you this time. Let me tell you this time. National Security Provisions, ne?
Yes.
198, yes. I'm going to refer to that, ne? National security subject, if you go to 198(1)(d) of the Constitution. National security subject to the authority of Parliament and the National Executive. So you see, it's a dual thing, it's not neither nor. So that issue of separation of powers still exists, but at the same time it is subject to the authority. So there's nothing that can be discussed in the country without Parliament knowing about it. And therefore, it's very important that when we discuss this matter, we also consider that. So the committee cannot know, I mean, Parliament, when we say Parliament, we don't mean the committee of responsible for competition matters. We mean Parliament, the Speaker, who's the executing authority within Parliament. As to what the executing authority does with that is something else. Because obviously the executing authority in Parliament will look at that and see where in Parliament we have structures that deal with the sensitive matters. And besides that, we also have a political committee that deals with, that processes such issues. And would also assist us to where those issues go to. So the reason that, because of sensitivity, therefore you cannot send that, I don't think it holds, because you cannot begin to discuss national security issues without knowledge of Parliament. So to me, in terms of tabling of issues, Let's not term it a report, because maybe when we term it a report, then it is subject to the Disclosure Act issues. If we talk issues pertaining to national security that emanate from the committee that has evaluated national security matters, in my opinion, these are issues that cannot be shared with Parliament well on time before they are even further processed. So a decision by the President must be in writing if it is taken in terms of legislation and has legal consequences. That's in terms of Section 4AB. Section 101 AB, that's where the executive decision. Are you clear? 101.
No, Chair, I'm clear. I was not saying Parliament has no authority over security matters. What I was proposing is probably more elegant way of processing the security report and the decision of the committee by Parliament.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. And because I think it's a fear, and I think probably I've not applied my mind, because once there is, because the Act talks of a report, and once there is a report that is produced by someone in the administration, someone can use PIA to access that report. So that's why for now I'm saying what gets, because Parliament can ask for that information anyway. Because if it's a decision, people will know the decision, because the decision is presented anyway. On top of that, Parliament then can say, on top of the decision, give us the report, that committee that we will do. That's why I was saying what gets submitted to Parliament publicly is the decision. Then the committee processing the matter, then you'll be the one saying, look, give us the report. And you say, give us a report and the decision.
That's under normal reporting to Parliament, because that caters for that. But this one is a national security matter. It's not just a normal reporting to Parliament. And I think you really need to apply your minds on that one. Otherwise, because it even says here, a decision by the President must be in writing if it's taken in terms of legislation and has legal consequences. And this particular one might be having legal consequences, and therefore it has to. It has to. So because if you look at section 44, subsection 2, Parliament may intervene by passing legislation in accordance with section 76 with regard to matter falling within a functional area listed in Schedule 5 when it is necessary to maintain national security. To me, it really suffices to really require the executive to report on such matters, because this is a dual responsibility. Yeah. I don't know how we're going to coin it. I don't know how we're going to, where we're going to be to putting it, but it has to. It has to have a time frame that is reasonable. And that's going to allow Parliament to also exercise its own authority over such, because I don't think Parliament would argue or would differ or whatever for the sake of doing that, because national security matters are of national importance to Parliament. So it's just a matter of disclosure and being transparent in the way you're dealing with issues, nothing else. State of advice?
I just want to alert the committee to the provisions of the Intelligence Services Oversight Act. Which Intelligence Services Oversight Act.
Okay.
For 1994. That act, Chairperson, talks to the report of the JSCI and says the committee shall, within 5 months after its first appointment and thereafter within 2 months after 31 March each year, table a report in Parliament on the activities of the committee during the preceding year, together with findings made by it and the recommendations it deems appropriate, and provide a copy thereof to the President and the Minister responsible for each service. Those are the security services. The committee may, at the request of Parliament, the President or the Minister responsible for each service, or at any other time which the committee deems necessary, furnish Parliament, the President or such Minister with a special report concerning any matter relating to the performance of his functions, and shall table a copy of such report in Parliament, or furnish the President and the Minister concerned with copies as may be necessary.
Can you come back again at any time?
The committee may, at the request of Parliament, the President or the Minister responsible for each service, or at any time which the committee deems necessary, furnish Parliament, the President or such Minister with a special report concerning any matter relating to the performance of his functions, and shall table a copy of such report in Parliament, or furnish the President and the Minister concerned with copies as the case may be. And subsection 3, which is the one that I wanted to alert you to, says nothing shall be included in any report of the committee, the inclusion of which will be more harmful to national security than its exclusion will be to the national interest. So basically,
nothing
shall be included in any report of the committee, the inclusion of which will be more harmful to national security than its exclusion will be to the national interest. So basically, what would usually happen is the committee would draft its report, and then it would look at what needs to be taken out of the report, what should be for public consumption. So there would be a full report, and then there would be those issues that would be redacted from the report that are not necessary for public consumption. So it would consult with the President, the Minister of State Security, on those issues. And then once that decision is taken, then a report that has those issues redacted would then be tabled in Parliament for public consumption. So that's basically what happens to the President. So it's not that the report will not have, basically there will be, in a way, two reports. There will be the one that's for the vetted people, and then there will be the one that is redacted.
So it is possible. Okay. Where do we do it? Do we still put it, what time frame? 90 days? 30 days? You came with the 30 days.
For me, Chairperson, I would go along with what my colleague has been saying. The most important thing for me is for the committee to know the decisions of the committee.
Mm.
So once it knows those decisions of the committee, then it can even be biannually for the committee to report to Parliament.
Okay.
on its activities. So you don't need it to within 90 days actually submit a report to Parliament, as long as the decisions that are made immediately submitted to Parliament, let's say within 30 days or whatever period. But at least biannually it reports to Parliament on its activities for that period. Then you still have the same measure of oversight over its activities.
Okay. Two issues. The gazetting is 15 days. That's what the department says. But then you want 90 days to Parliament. And our legal people are saying, doesn't matter. If you are able to publicize within 15 days, you can still publicize within 15 days. Send the same within that period to Parliament. Because it's not a detailed report, per se. Unless the committee then says, looking at this, would like you to come back. Because as I read all the provisions within the intelligence procedures, it allows for a follow-up to say, okay, if perhaps, let's say the speaker decides, okay, I'm sending this to Economic Development Committee to further deal with it. So once the speaker refers the matter to the committee would then look at the matter and decide what to do with that. We'll look at it, look at its sensitivity, and then decide what next. If you feel no. First send to chairperson, I'll look at it. If I feel, I'll send it to the management. Management will decide whether to proceed with the full committee or to meet with the speaker and indicate that we're not comfortable. That is the procedure within Parliament. But if the management of the committee, this committee, so referred to this committee, if the management of this committee feels no, then we can proceed with the full committee. Then it gets processed by the committee. And then the committee will then decide when to call for a full report for the committee to be able to understand a full presentation will be accompanied, of course, by a full report. So that is when I think the parliamentary the time frames will kick in. But as of now, I don't think it's about the parliamentary process where you're going to be getting more information, a lot of what and not. It's just the fact that you are able to send that to the parliament. I'm not sure whether that explains what you were saying, your concern.
You've captured me, because I'm saying if we are able to cassette the decision within 15 to 30 days, and I think that same decision could be sent to Parliament at the same term period, which would be the 15 to 30 days, then the parliamentary processes then kick in whenever the speaker refers, then they can ask for more formal information. That's what I was just saying. Yeah.
Now that we've clarified that, I'll let that also be discussed by members after your response.
Sure. Thanks very much, Chair. So I just want to make sure that I understand. So my understanding is that a decision will be gazetted, and at the same time a decision will be submitted to the Speaker of Parliament. That will happen within 15 days. I think our preference would be 15 working days, if that can be. And that thereafterwards...
15 working days is possible for this one.
Because the way it's worded here, remember it says here, following the decision contemplated in subsection 7, the minister must within the prescribed time period. So here, it's after following the decision. Because if you are saying following the decision 15 days, is it sufficient time for that, for the minister to do that? Because I'm looking at the committee, whether they'll have that kind of resources to be able to process a report within 15 days. And if so, then it means the government is efficiency levels have risen. I'm just it's my own opinion. It's okay.
Well, just so that I can clarify, it's a decision. So the decision is either to permit the merger, or to permit the merger with conditions, or to prohibit the merger. And so that decision will simply say the committee hereby permits or prohibits or permits with conditions the merger between so and so, and then that will be gazetted and that will be submitted to the Speaker of Parliament. And I think 15 working days is appropriate. And then as a follow-on, the speaker will then refer that decision to a committee, potentially, either economic development or otherwise, and that committee may request a full report from the committee.
You don't need to put that in the act.
Okay.
The only thing that we need here is the time frame, so that you explain the prescribed time, because if this prescribed time was somewhere within the bill, it wasn't going to be a problem. Here we are trying to cover this prescribed time issue because it's not defined anywhere in the bill. So if you are saying within the 15 days, you must know that it's something that has to be done like that. And if you agree that within 15 days, it will, because such decisions is not just a matter of 15 days. You have to say if there are conditions, clear, put them properly also. If you say decision is granted with these conditions, they have to be there and they would be correctly articulated. If you are comfortable with the 15 days, because this is the decision that you are proposing to the members, and we have to take that. I'm asking you again.
Yes.
Is 15 days sufficient?
I think if 30 days is on the table, we'll take 30 days.
If 30 days is... Yes. I think just to be on a safer side, I don't want to... That's why I referred you to the efficiency of government, because I know sometimes there could be those challenges. Members, there we have the proposal. What are we saying? About beginning?
Thank you, Chair. I can see, Chair, there's a lot of thought that went through to that decision. It's well informed, Chair. So we move it, Chair.
Thank you so much. Members, there is a... You supporting? Okay, thank you. So 30 days be it for both. Gazetting and reporting too. Yes. Of the decision, yes. We're not going to put parliamentary procedures. As to what the speaker does with that is incumbent upon the parliamentary processes and procedures. Okay, thank you so much.
We won't have any reference to the report anymore in the publication. So it's only the decision, the gazetting, and the decision. So there won't be, because we will need to redraft the provision for that clarity on the issue of the report. We won't make mention of that anymore.
Yes, of course they have to indicate, because if it's a decision, the decision can't come. It has to be supported.
No.
Yeah.
we can specify the details that relate to the decision, Chairperson, in the provision.
Mm.
So there will be the decision, the parties involved, whether it was granted or not, any conditions applicable to it.
I was comfortable with what he's saying here, because it says submit the committee's report and decision to the National Assembly. So the report is something that you can request later on, isn't it? It's not something that now we're talking about a decision, because they published a notice in Gazette of the decision to prohibit the implementation of the measure or to permit notification of the matter to the Competition Commission with or without conditions. If it's without conditions, it must still say, it cannot just say yes, we continue. There has to be what do you call it? Explanatory note. Yes. Because a notice, it cannot just be a notice that we agree that this measure goes what. There has to be what the reasons, and then it is agreed upon. Is that your understanding?
The way you are looking at
it means like you don't agree.
Thanks, Chair. I'm just trying to make sure I fully understand. So, a decision can be one of three things: permit the merger with conditions, prohibit the merger. That decision can be gazetted and submitted to Parliament within the prescribed time period, the 30 days. A report will take longer and will be subject to proper vetting. So I think I just want to, and I think this is what my colleague from State Law Advisors is also trying to do, just to make sure we're clear on what we're saying. So we're saying that a decision will be submitted to Parliament and gazetted, and a report. But then we must be clear on what we mean by a report, because if a report is a full report, that will take longer. That won't take 30 days.
An obligation. That's an obligation. But then a decision of the committee, it's a decision of the subcommittee on a particular matter. What we are saying here is that right now on the 15 days or 30 days you issue out a proclamation. You send that proclamation to Parliament. It's a form of a reporting to Parliament to say you have done that. Later on, the Parliament decides we want a report. You can't come to us and say no, but in terms of the law, there's no way that says you need to report to Parliament. Hence, the issue of report is there, that you must also understand that you have to report to Parliament also.
So I think that's understood, that a report will come. My only concern is that I don't think we can commit right now to say that the report will come within 30 days.
No.
That's not what you're asking.
It depends on Parliament. If it wants the report in 30 days, you can provide that in 30 days. Because if the Parliament says, I need a report in 5 days, you must submit in 5 days. Because Parliament says, it's very flexible. Right now you should be reporting on a monthly basis, but Parliament doesn't require reports from you on a monthly basis, according to the rules. We said, okay, let us make a quarterly reporting thing. But that doesn't mean if we need something urgent within next week or so, we cannot request that report from the department. I just want to clarify that reporting issue so that you don't confuse it with the... Because Parliament, if you report to Parliament, is on any other thing. The Parliament can request the committee to even report before they conclude a matter, before even they gazette a matter. This is what he was reading on the intelligence, like a State Law Advisor.
Yes.
Yes. any time. I think that should be understood by the department, the way the role of the department, or of parliament in anything. I can apply to the speaker to say there's something that is being dealt with that is of a national importance that I would want perhaps the minister to come and brief parliament on. Anytime. Even if that matter is being processed. Hence, the parliament has the power to subpoena also. Which are, most of the time, these are powers that the parliament normally doesn't use. But they are there. The fact that they are not utilized doesn't mean they are not there. So, reporting, I don't think there's anybody who would be very unreasonable to say we need that now and so forth. All what we need is, this happened, and because it's of national security interest, if you are able to gazette, also refer to Parliament so that Parliament can be of the know-how. But then if Parliament needs a report, it must also be stated that the committee has the responsibility or the minister has the responsibility to provide such report to Parliament. That's why I said as to how that is coined, it's something else, but that, to me, I thought this is still fine, but if you feel it's going to bind you in some other way, if there's there's a consequence to this, we have our legal people here, they must guide us.
Thank you, Chair. I think the point of departure has to concur with you, Chair, that in any way, Parliament, even if this clause was not there, which is clause B, Parliament would have access to the report of the committee, would have asked the report. I think the issue that is being discussed here, Chair, is when is that report made available to Parliament? And I think my understanding of the discussion so far is that at the time of the gazetting, it is imperative on the committee or the department to submit a decision that they've made to Parliament. That's why they submit to Parliament. And that decision must enable Parliament, the way it is written, to be able to engage with the decision itself. It should not be just a blank decision. I think that's a major thing that I think the Treasury is trying to understand. That's why probably I was suggesting that when you're submitting the decision to Parliament, you might also give the parties and everything and give the reasons for that. And so then when the decision comes, then in front of the chair of the National Assembly, you know, these are the reasons. When it refers to the committee could say, these are the reasons. And therefore, then it enables then the committee to say, we've seen your reasons. Can you give us then the full report then that informs your reasons for the decision? Because what will be in front of the committee at that time is the decision supported with the reasons. Okay. So I think how you word it here, you can say the decision, okay, what I was going to suggest is that the committee will submit the decision, which the decision should be accompanied by reasons. And then at any time, the committee, because even if this section was not here, Parliament could ask, as the chair puts that, we are considering X, Y, Z. Can you come and brief us? You've made such a decision. Please come and brief us. But I think for the Act, for that section now, what we could put is that a decision should be made available, should be submitted to the committee. And an understanding of a decision is the decision with the reasons, because that's the only way Parliament would be able to engage, because a blank decision that we said no or we said yes is not going to assist the committee. So it should be a decision with reasons that is get submitted. I think the concern from that side, Chair, when you're saying the report, we're looking at it as a report. Okay. So we're saying the decision which is supported by reasons, that's all that gets submitted to Parliament within that 30 days.
I think the issue is about how you put it here. Yes. To me, it's, as long as we are able to follow up. Because if you are going to say yes or no, then it doesn't make sense. Why should you bring it here to us? That's it, then.
Thank you, Chair. No, I said the explanation has been very proper, and I think in principle we are all agreed about what needs to be done. But perhaps it would assist us if we could just park it for a few minutes and try and look into other issues. Because we have agreed now in principle. It's just to fine tune the wording there so that we don't lose the context. But I suggest that we don't finalize it now immediately. It may take a few minutes extra, so let's try and move on to other issues. But we know that we need to come back before the end of the day to sort it out. Thank you.
Thank you, and that is the end. Want to come in? Stay driving. You're fine.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, thank you. You're fine.
Yeah,
when you refer to the dual process, were you referring to the consideration when you said we could not deal with the dual process later in the day?
Yeah, after
to the consideration by the committee and the commission?
Yes.
Okay, because it will have an impact on
oh,
how we deal with...
Maybe he's correct to say let's pack it for until lunch. Okay. So we'll revisit it after lunch. Okay, thank you so much. May I request the whip to continue? I'm coming. Call of each.
We are doing on page 9 of the field members, doing clause 14, which is amending section 19 of the field members. The amendment is replacing of number 1 with number 2, which is that the Competition Commission now will consist of the commissioner and two or more deputy commissioners appointed by the minister. Also,
so we're doing clause 14 of the bill, which is amending section 19. The section deletes the number 1 with replaces with the word 2. That competition commission consists now of a commissioner and two or more deputy commissioners appointed by the minister. So it does not say one, it says two or more. So that's the amendment. And I think the reason for it was just to increase the capacity of the regulatory body. That's why now we'll have two or more instead of one or more commissioners. And from the public, there were no objections. Generally, it was supported that the capacity of the commission should be increased.
Any comments? We don't have issues. In fact, we think that this is the correct move to increase the capacity of the commission. Thank you.
I'm being alerted that currently we do not have a quorum to make the decision. So we can discuss the matter, Chair. We can discuss the matters. So we will proceed to discuss all the matters, Chair, but we're not making a decision. The recommendation that is that this section is adopted for now. And when we put a call, I will just go through all of them, the things, Chair. So continue.
Please remind us in future to amend this particular law. Because it does not make sense. Because if a quorum, someone is going to the ladies, then all of a sudden we can't proceed. I think it is too mechanical.
It is mechanical.
Please to be reviewed.
No, I think we will proceed with all of them, and I think we'll just note that what is the recommendation of the unquorumed committee. Okay. Then section clause 15, Chair, which is also on page 9 of the bill, is a section amending section 21 of the Principal Act by stating more duties of the Competition Commission, which is to conduct a market inquiry, to do impact studies, to issue advisory opinions, and develop policy regarding granting of leniency. From the public submissions, there was also no objections to the clause. But largely it was for that that the policy on granting of leniency must be reviewed periodically. That was the submission from the public. Just to confirm the decisions of the committee chair, to the chair, is that on section, on clause 14, which was amending section 19, the recommendation of increasing the number of deputy commissioners from one to two has been suggested to be accepted by the committee chair, because it deals with the capacitation of the regulatory body. And then we are now on clause 15, which was amending section 21, it was increasing, which was also stating further functions based on the amendments of the Act, which was to say other duties of the Competition Commission, which now include the initiation and conducting of market inquiries, doing impact studies, and also the issue of guidelines and also issue of advisory opinions, Chair. And from the public, the only submission that it deals with that section, it was, I think it's ABASA, they were saying that which is GD, saying that that policy on granting of leniency must be reviewed periodically. And there was no response to the minister.
Okay. Thank you so much. What do members say?
Thank you very much.
Bob Biginina.
I think we really suffice to see that we agree with this amendment.
Okay. So the amendment of Section 21 of the Principal Act is therefore agreed to by Parliament, by members. Thank you so much. Next.
Chair is just also under same clause 15, which is that the minister must table in Parliament any report submitted in terms of Section 1K, which just changes National Assembly to Parliament. There was no objection to that amendment.
Thank you. Members? That is then.
We agree, Chair, but can we just get an explanation from our legal people? By the way, what is the difference, in fact, between National Assembly and Parliament?
We'll take it further. My understanding is that Parliament refers to both houses, which is the National Assembly and the NCOP. National Assembly is only a house on its own.
Thank you. Understood, members? Members there? Okay. Hence the amendment. Yes. So that it's otherwise it means the matter cannot be dealt with by the NCOP. It can only be restricted to National Assembly. Thank you. Next.
The next amendment, which is still on page 9, members, is clause 16. Which is also still an amendment of Section 21 of the Principal Act, which enables the Commission to do impact studies and the submission of the same impact study to Parliament, which says that the Minister must table in the National Assembly any impact study report within 10 days after receiving the report from the Commission. If Parliament is not sitting within 10 business days after the commencement of the next sitting, so we might in line then probably also amend National Assembly to say Parliament.
Thank you. Your consent that it then is appearing again here. Yeah? So we'll need to amend that as Parliament, meaning Parliament, and therefore amend it now. This is our amendment, the committee's amendment of that, to refer to Parliament instead of National Assembly.
Okay.
So that's a new addition to after Section 21. What do members say? 21A, 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 7C. Say it officially.
Chair, we agree.
Thank you so much. We agree with that amendment of the National Assembly.
Thank you, Chair. The next clause is on page 10 of the bill, dealing with clause 17, which is amending section 22 of the Principal Act. The section deals with the appointment and powers of the commissioner of the Competition Commission. The amendments deal with that the commissioner must develop a policy of delegations and how that power should be delegated and how is the and how the delegation power is controlled. There were no objections or concerns or support from the public or non-support of the section from the public.
What do members say? Amendment of Section 22 of the Principal Act. Babu Pikinini.
Thank you very much. I still remember that in the Commission itself, there were a few members that ran issues. It makes them not to finish issues very quickly. Some of the measures and whatever it is they're dealing with, it took time to deal with it. Now, the issue of this one will be able to, if it's affected, it will help and speed up the processes better. So we agree on this one.
Okay. Administrative efficiency. For administrative efficiency purposes, we agree. Thank you. The next one.
The next clause is clause 18, amending section 23 of the Act, which is a power to appoint deputy commissioners to conduct market inquiries by the minister.
Thank you. If you recall, we do have one commissioner. This is talking about a full-time and a part-time deputy commissioner. So it's an addition to what we have currently. This is still relate to the resourcing of the commission, of the competition authorities. What do members say? Babu Tele?
You agree, sir.
You agree. Thank you. The next one.
The next clause, Chair, is clause 19, amendment of section 25.1b for the substitution of the word appointment, which is condition of appointment, making it conditions of employment.
Members, the delegation issue. Mem Fuller. Chair, we agree. Voted. Thank you. Next.
And the last another amendment is subsection 25.2, which says that subject to the provision of this act, the commissioner maintains a staff member of the competition for commission who has suitable qualifications expressed by peer on behalf of the commission in any court of law.
Thank you. Members? You don't agree? Mem Fuller?
We do agree, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Next one.
Next section, next clause is clause 20, dealing now with the tribunal. The members of the tribunal are being increased from 10 to 14, that is in terms of section 26.2a of the amendment bill.
Thank you. Members, any problem with this?
No.
Thank you. Proceed.
Second amendment within the same section, Chair, is that the minister can also appoint people to act as in an acting capacity to act as competition tribunal members.
Yeah. What do members say? Only at the expiry in between before he appoints the next person. I think that must be clear. Yes. Members, you agree or disagree? Thank you.
Okay. Because I think the other section deals with the term of the. Then the next amendment is clause 21, also dealing with. The panel members of the tribunal that would ensure, which is the insertion of section B, that when assigning, when the chairperson of the tribunal says when assigning a matter in terms of section 1, the chairperson must ensure that no more than one member of a panel is an acting member appointed in terms of section 23.2b.
Yes, State
Advisor. I just want to understand your input on the previous one, Chairperson. The way I understand it, this provision is meant to serve in the same way as the provisions that you would have for acting judges. An acting judge is not appointed because there's a period. There's someone's period that has expired. That person acts. Yes, I want to clarify so that if we do something to it.
Okay, can we come back to that
right,
later? Can when we, because right now you are disturbing our process, our progress. We'll just note it. We'll come back to it. Yes. We were on 21.2b, no?
Yeah.
Yes. Members? The chair would ensure that no more than one member of the panel is an acting member appointed in terms of Section 23.2b. That is then?
Well, the idea is to support the amendment, Chair, but can you just get a clarity here? Initially, were they appointing more than one? Because I think this is what it is trying to do, to say it must just be one. But was it ever more than one before? What is really being amended?
Okay. There's an addition. Yes. So what that is then trying to find out is that, what are you addressing here?
I think my understanding, Chair, my colleague will come in. My understanding is that if there's a panel set, that not more than one member of that panel should be in an acting capacity. Meaning if it's a three-member panel, my understanding is that two of those members should be the permanent ones. That is my understanding.
He wants to know what was the practice before. Because with this, you are addressing something.
I think it is brought about, it's a consequential amendment, Chair, which is brought about by the fact that now they can appoint more acting tribunal members in an acting capacity. So I think it's a consequential amendment because now the tribunal might have, let's say, five acting tribunal members, and it might be only that five that is available to a sitting. It's basically saying you cannot have a sitting comprised of only 18 people. I think that's a consequential amendment.
Okay. That's it, that is it. Okay, thank you so much. So you were going to? That is it. You were going to support?
Before I support.
Oh, you coming in before you support, okay.
Before you support, I don't want to take you back. The 23.2B, the chairperson is a typo, it should be 26.2B because it's the previous section that we dealt with. So it should refer to 26.2B.
Or 26.2B.
Yes, sir.
Okay, next. Oh, that you said before, that is then?
No.
Are you supporting?
No.
You're supporting, thank you. Any dissenting view? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The next clause is still clause 21, amending section 21. Which is a section which is around efficiencies of the tribunal, where it is said now that a member can sit alone when it is considering what is called interlocutory applications, so that one member can sit, which is to decide on prescribed time periods, compelling of discovery, and also confidential information, which are not substantive issues in relation to competition law. So instead of having three people sitting to make a decision on that, you can have one person, one panel member sitting. That's the purpose of the clause.
Okay, is it understood, members? What are we saying?
Agreed,
thank you.
Effective utilization
of cards. Okay, thank you. Next.
And we are going to start now with the market inquiries clauses.
I just want to find out if okay. In to avoid yesterday's mind saturation, can we break for 10 minutes? Come back to me. Question. is available outside, I'm sure.
Thank you.